News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The Taliban swept into Afghanistan's capital on Sunday after the government collapsed and the embattled president joined an exodus of his fellow citizens and foreigners, signaling the end of a costly two-decade U.S. campaign to remake the country. Heavily armed Taliban fighters fanned out across the capital and several entered Kabul's abandoned presidential palace. Suhail Shaheen, a Taliban spokesman and negotiator, told the Associated Press that the militants would hold talks in the coming days aimed at forming an open, inclusive Islamic government. Earlier, a Taliban official said the group would announce from the palace the restoration of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan, the formal name of the country under Taliban rule, before the militants were ousted by US-led forces in the wake of the 9/11 attacks, which were orchestrated by Al-Qaeda while it was being sheltered by the Taliban. But that plan appeared to be on hold. Kabul was gripped by panic. Helicopters raced overhead throughout the day to evacuate personnel from the U.S. embassy. Smoke rose near the compound as staff destroyed important documents and the American flag was lowered. Several other Western missions also prepared to pull their people out. Fearful that the Taliban could reimpose the kind of brutal rule that all but eliminated women's rights, Afghans rushed to leave the country, lining up at cash machines to withdraw their life savings. The desperately poor, who had left homes in the countryside for the presumed safety of the capital, remained in parks and open spaces throughout the city. Though the Taliban had promised a peaceful transition, the U.S. Embassy suspended operations and warned Americans late in the day to shelter in place and not try to get to the airport. Commercial flights were suspended after sporadic gunfire erupted at the Kabul airport, according to two senior U.S. military officials. Evacuations continued on military flights, but the halt to commercial traffic closed off one of the last routes available for fleeing Afghans. Many people watched in disbelief as helicopters landed in the U.S. Embassy compound to take diplomats to a new outpost at the airport. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken rejected comparisons to the U.S. pullout from Vietnam. "This is manifestly not Saigon," he said on ABC's This Week. The American ambassador was among those evacuated, officials said. He was asking to return to the embassy, but it was not clear if he would be allowed to. The official spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss ongoing operations. As the insurgents closed in, President Ashraf Ghani flew out of the country. "The former president of Afghanistan left Afghanistan, leaving the country in this difficult situation," said Abdullah Abdullah, the head of the Afghan National Reconciliation Council, and a longtime rival of Ghani. "God should hold him accountable," he said. Ghani later posted on Facebook that he left to avert bloodshed in the capital without saying where he had gone. As night fell, Taliban fighters deployed across Kabul, taking over abandoned police posts and pledging to maintain law and order during the transition. Residents reported looting in parts of the city, including in the upscale diplomatic district, and messages circulating on social media advised people to stay inside and lock their gates. In a stunning rout, the Taliban seized nearly all of Afghanistan in just over a week, despite the billions of dollars spent by the US and NATO over nearly 20 years to build up Afghan security forces. Just days earlier, an American military assessment estimated that the capital would not come under insurgent pressure for a month. The fall of Kabul marks the final chapter of America's longest war, which began after the September 11, 2001 terror attacks. A US-led invasion dislodged the Taliban and beat them back, but America lost focus on the conflict in the chaos of the Iraq War. For years, the US sought an exit from Afghanistan. Then President Donald Trump signed a deal with the Taliban in February 2020 that limited direct military action against the insurgents. That allowed the fighters to gather strength and move quickly to seize key areas when President Joe Biden announced his plans to withdraw all American forces by the end of this month. After the insurgents entered Kabul, Taliban negotiators discussed a transfer of power, said an Afghan official. The official who spoke on condition of anonymity to discuss details of the closed-door negotiations described them as tense. It remained unclear when that transfer would take place and who among the Taliban was negotiating. The negotiators on the government side included former President Hamid Karzai, leader of Hizb-e-Islami political and paramilitary group, Gulbuddin Hikmatyar, and Abdullah, who has been a vocal critic of Ghani. Karzai himself appeared in a video posted online, his three young daughters around him, saying he remained in Kabul. "We are trying to solve the issue of Afghanistan with the Taliban leadership peacefully," he said. Afghanistan's acting defense minister, Bismillah Khan Mohammadi, did not hold back his criticism of the fleeing president. "They tied our hands from behind and sold the country," he wrote on Twitter. "Curse Ghani and his gang," he said. The Taliban earlier insisted that their fighters would not enter people's homes or interfere with businesses and said they would offer amnesty to those who worked with the Afghan government or foreign forces. Meghalaya Home Minister Lakhman Rimbui resigned on Sunday amid violence in Shillong over the police shooting of a former militant. Rimbui also urged Chief Minister Conrad K. Sangma to institute a judicial inquiry into the shooting of Chesterfield Thankyou, the self-styled General Secretary of the banned Hinprep National Liberation Council, who had surrendered. "I hereby express shock to the incident where Chesterfield Thankyou was killed following the raid of police at his residence exceeding the lawful tenets of the law," he stated in his letter to the Chief Minister. "I would like to request you to relieve the Home Department from me with immediate effect. This will facilitate free and fair inquiry taken by the government to bring out the truth of the incident. I propose judicial inquiry be conducted," he added. Rimpuy told PTI that his United Democratic Party also backed the decision to step down. "I have put forth my papers after due consultation with my party leadership to allow a free and fair probe into the killing of Thankyou," he said. UDP, an ally of Sangma's NPP in the Meghalaya Democratic Alliance government, also urged for a judicial probe into the incident which resulted in violent protests, Rimbui said. The Meghalaya government has imposed a curfew in Shillong and banned mobile internet services in at least four districts as vandalism and arson rocked the state capital and nearby areas on Independence Day. Thankyou, who had surrendered in 2018, was shot dead on August 13 when he allegedly tried to attack a police team with a knife during a raid at his house in connection with a series of IED blasts in the state. Police said they had evidence that Thankyou masterminded the blasts after his surrender. The Congress on Sunday accused Prime Minister Narendra Modi of only making announcements about schemes in his Independence Day speeches and not implementing them, even as it hit out at him for not withdrawing the three agri laws against which the farmers have been protesting. Senior Congress leader Mallikarjun Kharge said for 7 years the country has been listening to the same speeches by the Prime Minister, but nothing is being done for any aggrieved section, including small farmers. "He announces new schemes, but these are never implemented or seen on the ground. He says a lot of things, but never adheres to them. And now, by bringing the three new farm laws, he has spelled doom for the farmers," he told reporters after the Prime Minister's Independence Day speech. Kharge also took exception to the Prime Minister targeting the previous regimes on the issues of small farmers and development, saying the country will not progress by criticizing the Congress from the ramparts of the Red Fort again and again. "The Congress has done a lot of work for this country during its regime, like providing irrigation systems for the farmers. Manmohan Singh Ji and Sonia Gandhi Ji waived farmers' debt when the UPA was in power," he said. Congress chief spokesperson Randeep Surjewala also took a swipe at the Prime Minister over his announcement of rupees 100 lakh crore investment in the infrastructure sector, saying it was the same 2 years ago. "It has been 2 years since August 15, 2019. At least the 100 lakh crore figure could have been changed," he said in a tweet in Hindi while posting the news of the Prime Minister's I-Day speech in 2019. Congress leader Pratap Singh Bajwa said it would have been a historic day had the Prime Minister announced the withdrawal of the three farm laws. Poor light made sure India survived in the dying stages of day four at Lord's, even as they faced a middle order collapse against England during the second test. India, who were going brilliantly at 155 for 3, suddenly lost a flurry of wickets, which saw them lose 3 wickets in 20 runs. First, Mark Wood removed Cheteshwar Pujara with a jaffer. Then Moeen Ali removed a dangerous-looking Ajinkya Rahane and Ravindra Jadeja to make quick work of the visitors. All of this after Pujara and Rahane had combined for 100 runs to bail the visitors out. While Pujara missed his half-century by a whisker, he got 45 off 206 balls. Rahane found form, getting 61 of 146 and started playing his shots after getting his eye in. The only disappointment was Ravindra Jadeja, who was out cheaply and had no answer to where his off-stump was. Later, as wickets continued to tumble, skipper Virat Kohli made gestures from the Lord's Pavilion to his batsmen as the light was fading and poor visibility would have caused more dismissals. Even Rohit Sharma had to barge out and reiterate what Kohli was saying. In the end, some common sense prevailed and umpires called off the day's play almost 8 overs earlier. Earlier, searching desperately for runs, Cheteshwar Pujara and Ajinkya Rahane put up a dogged resistance against a probing England attack to take India to 105 for 3 at T on day 4 of the second test. The two senior batsmen who have been out of form for a while, alongside skipper Virat Kohli, shared a valuable stand for the fourth wicket to steady the Indian innings after the visitors lost their top 3 for 56 runs by lunch. India led by 78 runs at the break. Both Pujara, 29 of 148, and Rahane, 24 of 74, batted for survival for a major part of the second session before finding some welcome runs. Only 49 runs came in the 28 overs bowled in the session, but most importantly for India, they did not lose a wicket. Rahane hit a couple of boundaries which included a pull shot off Ollie Robinson, while there was a loud cheer from the crowd when Pujara played his 100th ball with only 12 runs to his name. The cheer got louder when he got his first boundary, a flick off Mark Wood, of his 118th delivery. Like he had done successfully with Rohit Sharma in the opening session, Wood tried to bounce out Pujara with a barrage of short balls, but the Saurashtra strongman was up for the challenge. Spinner Moeen Ali had a lot of bowling to do in the session, with the odd ball turning in sharply or keeping low on a deteriorating pitch. In the morning session, India felt the heat on a sunny Lord's morning as Wood removed their in-form openers before Kohli was caught behind to leave the visitors gasping at 56 for 3 at lunch. The Indian openers KL Rahul and Rohit Sharma, who made up for the middle order's prolonged failure so far in the series, could not bat long on this occasion. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again tomorrow with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Stay safe and have a very good day.
News 18 Daybreak, the perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.